So hello and you're all very welcome. I Spray My Mental Health podcast, episode number 13. Unlucky for some. Not for me though. I've no hidden agendas. The number 13 has never caused me harm. Or caused me any interference, personal indifference throughout the course of my life. So I could have left this podcast out, skipped straight to 14 like a hotel with no 13th floor. But that would be stupid. There would be absolutely no point in that whatsoever, and it wouldn't make sense, and it would confuse people if they were looking for episode 13 and it didn't exist. But as always, you're very welcome. Thanks very much for joining me. For those who have been here before, know the drill, know where to hang up their coats. Thanks for giving us the feedback. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing it with your mates and your granny. It's very much appreciated. And for those who are joining me for the first time and are feeling a little bit awkward, please don't. It's grand, lads. It's a safe place. So thanks very much. I appreciate it. It's number 13, episode 13. It's about the 8 week in a row I've knocked out the podcast on the Thursday evening. Third week in a row, I'm going to make an attempt to rally right through for half an hour, 40 minutes without any kind of break, any kind of segmented approach in the podcast. And again, if you're joining for the first time, the earlier episodes were sort of broken up over the course of a week in short segments. And it wasn't done on purpose. It was done by necessity, based on kind of my work schedule and extracurricular activities I've been up to, with training and coaching and writing and whatever else I do during the week. And it seemed to suit. There was little or no editing involved. It was just put together. Had a nice vibe about it. But just the last couple of weeks, I've been just boxing off Thursday night when everything's been done and dusted, and setting aside an hour just to take a couple of notes and put together an episode that I hope will have some sort of value to those of you who choose to listen. So once again, thanks very much for joining me for episode number 13. Not number 14, number 13. And there's a number of theories and a number of theories and conspiracies relative to as to why the number 13 has negative connotations and is deemed to be unlucky. And I just had a quick look at it, and unsurprisingly, one of the main ones has a biblical overtone to it. And what it comes down to is at the Last Supper, when Jesus and the lads, they ordered a pizza. The McGregor fight was on that night, decided to get a bit of grub, meet up, have a few cans. Judas was late, and he was the 13th man to sit down at the table. He got stuck in traffic, and as you know, JC, he wasn't a man to beat around the bush, and he said it out straight, and he stood up, and he said, listen here, lads, he said, one of you pricks will betray me. Judas, playing it cool. Sorry, what was that, boss? He said, didn't hear you there, I was just checking my phone. And it must have been awkward. Jeez, it must have been awkward as fuck for the boys sitting there. It's like, fuck, lads, like, this fella can walk on water. He's not fucking around here. But I'd say they knew. I'd say quietly, staring at the floor, thinking to themselves, I'd say they knew well, like, that scaldy fucker Judas. It's like, he'd sell you. Sell your granny for a fiver. He'd pull the flowers up off your mother's grave, sell them back to you. And right enough, Judas, the 13th man to sit down at the table at the Last Supper, he was offered a big sponsorship deal, took the money, and he fucking legged it. Never seen again. So JC was right. He said it out straight. And that's exactly what happened, lads. That's a factual, informative podcasting note for you right there. Pause it. Go back, rewind. Learn something. Useless information, just like that. So other administrative disruptors that are related to the number 13 being unlucky involve the moon. So, a year with 13 full moons was considered very unfortunate for the monks, and it posed problems for the lads who were in charge of the calendar in the church. It upset the regular arrangements for church festivals, would you believe? The poor bastards. Which in truth has nothing to do with being unfortunate or unlucky. It's just them being feckin' lazy. Change a shift with the boys up in the bell tower. How many moons is that, Tom? I think that's 13. Are you fucking joking? Are you sure? Tom flicking through his girls aloud, calendar, double checking the dates. And bollocks to that, he says, you're right, 13. Dreading the thought of writing up another report. So, normally it'd be 12 full moons. 13, crammed into a year, fucked everything up for the monks. I would put that down as a first world problem. Even though it was fucking 800 years ago, whenever. That's a first world problem right there. So there's a phobia related to the number 13. Don't worry, but I'm not going to spend the next fucking half hour talking about the number 13. Just mastered the segue, thought it was a nice way to kind of start the podcast with some useful information that'll be of no benefit to you whatsoever as you go about your daily lives. But let me try this. I wrote this down. Triskaidekaphobia. Triskaidekaphobia. It's a fear of the number 13. It does exist, and it must be awkward as fuck if you're a maths teacher. There you have it, lads. I sprang my mental health podcast, episode 13. You're all very welcome. We'll move on swiftly. So if you've been listening or checking out some of my posts on Instagram, performance_docdoc, I've just put up a little bit of detail that I've been attending the Life Skills program with Aware Ireland over the last couple of weeks. It's a 6-week program. I'm now 3 weeks in. And it's been lovely. It's been lovely. It's been the best way I can describe it. It's, again, similar to this podcast, in putting this together with a creative process. I've now just penciled this life skills program in. It's just a really nice part of my weekly schedule on a Wednesday night. So I kind of made a commitment with the weather being so good up until this week. I've walked in and walked home. So it's an hour walk in, hour walk home. So after a day's work, it's just nice to get out of the car, get home, get me dinner, earphones in, and walk into town. And same afterwards. And it's just been a really, really nice ritual. And I've really enjoyed it. There's a couple of things I'm really enjoying. The first is, as I said, it's that structure that I've put on it. Walking in and out, knowing that I have this sort of me time that I'm committed to, because it's in a group setting and I have to be there at a certain time. If it was me at home on my own saying, right, at 7:30 every Wednesday, I'm going to box off an hour to go inside my head, I know I wouldn't do it. I come up with every excuse under the sun not to do it. So because there's a structure to it, I'm that bit more committed. I'm that bit more immersed in it, and I'm really enjoying it. A big plus as well is the Wednesday evening. It's pretty much totally away from my phone. The phone goes away and I'm clued in. I've no distractions and I'm there, I'm present, and I'm clued into what's going on with little or nothing else interfering me. So, life skills, what's it about? And somebody did ask me following last week's podcast, would I open up on kind of obviously, without going into too many sensitive details of stuff that's maybe discussed, could I go into a little bit more detail as to what is the course involved? What have we gone through? And it's really simple stuff. I think I'd imagine it's a lot of content that a lot of people have maybe come across before, either online or through a self-help book or through somebody else they know maybe. It's pretty much based on CBT, which is cognitive behaviour therapy. So the best way to describe that is just, I suppose it's awareness, acceptance and action steps relative to your thought process, your mindset and the actions you take thereafter. So, you know, look, just to begin with, if you were to assess yourself right here, right now, and your thought patterns, you know, are you negative, are you closed mind, have you got that doomsday setting, If you do, something like this process, this CBT process, can help. It can help in a transition and sort of taking control of what you're thinking of and putting a much more pleasant spin on it for yourself. So to begin with, and I'm just kind of going to look over the last 3 weeks sort of in general, not very specific as to what, here's what we did on week one, here's what we did on week two, just a sort of an overall view. To begin with, the first sort of message you're given is to have a plan, which makes perfect sense. Obviously, you commit to something, you want to have a plan. And I did touch on this. People spoke on the first night just about what they were thinking of, what they wanted to take action steps on. And it wasn't all heavy detail. It wasn't all sort of really gritty detail associated with mental health or mental illness. I mean, some people were speaking about just getting to that step to commit to doing their driver's test, to learn a new instrument, to join a gym and do the proper workout that'll help them sort of feel better about themselves. So there was light enough material like that that was discussed on the first night. But the key to it is the gentleman, Kieran is his name, who sort of hosts and facilitates the group. He says, you just have to have a plan and put structure on what you want to do, and really simple steps. And I think this is probably important. If you're listening to this podcast, you obviously have an interest in the area of mental health, in the area of well-being and looking after yourself. And this is just really the most simplest, easiest way to sort of have a look at, is there something I want to change? How am I going to go about doing that? So before we get heavy into mindset and heavy into what I'm thinking and how I can alter that and how I can make changes and make myself feel so much better on a daily basis, to talk about putting a plan in place with easy steps, it starts at a simple process. Number one, just taking a bit of time to yourself. So like I said, if it's 9 o'clock on a Wednesday night, cup of tea, if it's in the car, if a takeaway cup from Costa, the kids are gone to bed and you're at home, sit down at the table, right, 9 o'clock, Wednesday night, this is my time. So keep a clear head, simple as that. Like, just don't go into this if there's 1,000 things in your mind, if you're still worried about washing the dishes, or I have to do my homework, or I have to do that college assignment, I'm supposed to be in the gym. At a time when you are settled, a time you are settled in the day, there might be a little bit in your mind, relative to your job or something like that, but just take a time where maybe your day is either hasn't begun yet or everything is sort of wrapped up. So don't have any, obviously clear the runway, no distractions, no phones, no interruptions, just have a little bit of peaceful space just for you. Make your plan. Write it down. Just make it really clear. What do I want to do? What do I want to change? When do I want to change? What problems are going to arise? Just simple things. And I think a lot of this time when we think, oh, geez, I'm going to sit down, write this down, and what's the point of that? That's not, the whole point of this is I'm just talking about making a start on something you want to change. There's no big science behind this. It's just about clearing the way for a specific time that's suitable and suited to your lifestyle and your schedule of work and play. Pick a time that suits you. Sit down and write down what you want to change and a few little ideas that are going to help you along the way. And ask the questions, or is this going to, what I'm writing down here, will this address, you know, specific improvements relative to my well-being? Is it practical? Things like this. Just start asking questions. Get yourself thinking about it. And a lovely sort of explanation that was given on one of the nights of the course is to think about elephants. Think about fucking elephants. The reason we think about elephants is you can't carry an elephant on its own. You can't eat an elephant in one go. You just break it into the tiniest of parts and start at the beginning. Small bite at a time. And I call this chapter 12 syndrome, which I've mentioned before, it's a key to patience. The book of patience. If you start at the end, you'll finish at the beginning. So chapter 12 syndrome. Start at the start, just start nice and slow at the start. Little baby steps to sort of help you make that change and help you make that progress. Really simple, chapter 12 syndrome. I wrote it there, write it down, remember that. I'll say that again. If you start at the finish, you'll finish at the start. Change that around a bit, but the premise is still the same. So be patient with the process, basically. think of elephants and break the elephant into small bits. You're probably the only one listening to this now for the first time. You're like, what the fuck is he talking about elephants for? It's just a metaphor, lads. Just visual. It's just descriptive. It does make sense, though. It does make sense. Break everything into small bits. Important relative to your plan is expect to get stuck. There's going to be setbacks. It's going to be knockbacks. So have a little think about that. Examine potential knockbacks that some may jump out at you straight away. So I suppose for an example, if you're looking to change something, I want to go to the gym more, I want to start training more. First of all, okay, well, I'm working a 12-hour day and I've two kids and my husband works nights. There's obviously going to be a problem there. How am I going to work this out? And that would obviously involve, you know, addressing the matter with another person, the person that you care for, person that cares for you. And that's a big part of it as well. Include somebody else, because it makes you accountable, not only to yourself, but to somebody else as well. And you feel a bit more committed to what you want to change. So there could be more trivial setbacks, could be more spontaneous setbacks as well that maybe you're not aware of. So just taking a moment to kind of write down potential setbacks that may arise as you set out upon this journey. So yeah, just again, be accountable, create a diary, have a little notebook. It could be done on your phone. We've no excuses. We carry these things everywhere with us. There's a notepad setting on every phone. Take a few notes and check in on yourself. See how you're doing. And then I'm just trying to think sort of off the top of my head here, but like I'm there's no real heavy detail in this. I think with something like this, look, the essence of play and imagination can be very important because it can lighten the mood. And for some people, their goals and their changes can be very significant to their well-being and lifestyle. It could be a bit more serious relative to a condition of the mind. It could be people feeling down, stuff that they really want to change, but you can still keep the mood light. A really nice one to do is to jump up a year from now, write yourself a letter as if you're writing it in a year's time. And write to yourself as if you've made the changes. You've done it. Well done. You know, fair play to you, Sarah. Fair play to you, Dave. Fair play to you. Write a letter to yourself. Have a bit of fun with it. As I said, a bit of imagination and a bit of play. Doesn't do anybody any harm. You have to keep it light. It doesn't have to be serious all the time. And you can just have a bit of fun with it. I think when you're making your plan is just to stay true to yourself. So set yourself reminders. It could be post-its on the fridge. Again, it could be reminders on your phone. It could be if you drive to work every day, the moment you get into the car, a little bit of quiet self-talk to yourself. Just a little bit of a positive reassurance to yourself quietly as you look in the mirror that, listen, well done, Johnny, you're doing well. Today is going to be a good day. And I think little things like that make such a difference for me. And to digress that, what I went through, a really big destructive process that I went through as I sort of spiraled towards the worst period of my life, I kept a diary that I called The Hate Pages, and I wrote in it every day about how worthless I was, about how what a fucking waste of space I was, about how I was never going to achieve anything, about how I was not loved, how people didn't like me, about how when I got bullied, how I got beaten up and verbally abused, I deserved it because I was useless. And that went on for a very long time. I spent a lot of time mentally torturing myself in the bathroom mirror. I had a lot of negative self-talk, a lot of talk against myself, putting myself down, and I put serious fucking effort into that. This wasn't done on a whim. It was planned. It was aggressive. It was intimidating to myself, and I made sure it worked. And a big change that I've tried doing for myself is going about the opposite way. And I'm always taking notes about the day ahead or about the day that has just been, about little things that I took pleasure from. I don't do a gratitude journal every day or anything like that, because this is my own personal experience on it. I find if I'm going to sit down at the end of every day and write what I'm grateful for, it just becomes a list with very little meaning. I'd rather be spontaneous when it comes to addressing what I'm grateful for, and I don't always have to write it down. It could be a quiet moment during a work day where I just stop and be grateful for what I have. It could be the smallest thing, but I think when those little moments just come to you about what you're grateful for, and you capture it and own it for what it is in that moment, I think there's a bit more sincerity to it than writing a list of 10 or 12 things every night. If you disagree, absolutely no problem. If it works for you and you sit down every night and make a list of stuff that you're grateful for and makes you feel good, 100% keep that up. Absolutely. If that works for you, keep doing it. Just as I said, personally, just for me, I prefer just a little bit of spontaneity on it, and just quiet moments, little pockets when I have those realizations throughout the day, and I capture it in the net, savor the moment for what it is. But with that self-talk, with that note-taking, it is important to me because I made such a conscious effort in working the other way. I almost feel like I'm trying to catch up and undo that, the effort I put into the negative self-talk and the negative note-taking over that period of time. I feel like I have to outdo what I did against myself and do it with sort of wholesome positivity. And it works. It does make me feel good. Whether I'm having a shit day or not, when I have a look at what is good in my life, what I'm enjoying, what's coming up that I'm going to enjoy, it makes me feel better. And just random shit. Just telling myself that I'm doing well, telling myself that my achievements have been quite remarkable, particularly this year. I've pushed myself above and beyond this year. And sometimes I don't think I give myself the credit I deserve for it. So just little moments when I can do that and force myself to do it, I do feel good about myself. So don't sell yourself short with your self-talk. Look after yourself, encourage yourself the same way you would to one of your mates. And that's sort of the next point on it as well, similar. Is just give yourself good advice and imagine it's your best mate you're talking to. Imagine it's your little sister that you're talking to. Give them the best advice possible and give yourself that advice. I always say, we talk to others the way we talk to ourselves. We have no friends. So just be conscious. Conscious about what you say to yourself. Talk to yourself as if you're talking to the person you love. And make it special, make it meaningful, make it encouraging, make it loving. So what else? And listen, this is all about just making a plan. I haven't addressed anything that could be remotely related to mental health as such. It could be anything at all. This could be about breaking into the starting 11 on a football team. This could be about your plan to get back to college in the next year. It could be a plan to start running, to start a gym program. It could be a plan to find the perfect boyfriend. Doesn't matter what it is, just sit down, make a plan, do it tonight. Pause this podcast now, go and do it. If you've been procrastinating, whether for a day or two or otherwise over the last 12 months, just take that moment as soon as you can to just put a plan in place. What else? Get support wherever possible. I think this is important. And if you think about, if you're applying for a new job and you needed help, you'd go and ask somebody, help me with my CV, would you give me a reference letter? You'd go about to all these people and all these outlets that you could tap into to make your application have a bit more substance to it, and give yourself the best chance to progress. And it's no difference with this. I don't even know if that's a good example. It is a good example. It's a simple example relative to everyday life. So bounce off people, build a community of people that you trust. And that's a really good example of how social media can be positive. Right, I fucking know there's a lot of negativity with social media. If we look at social media like the fucking world, the world has a lot of negativity, all right? Bring it back to your world, your own fucking world. Same as social media, bring it back to your own fucking world. You can build up a community online of like-minded people that you can bounce off. I've done that. I've met some incredible people online of the same mindset, of the same ilk, of the same understanding, with similar ambitions, similar goals. And it fucking works. So tap into that. That's just one example. Tap into that. Use the support. Get in touch with people. Get chatting to people. We all have so much in common, but we don't fucking talk. So talk, communicate, build support, bring it closer to home, build support from your family, tell them what you want to do, build support from your friends, build support from your boss. It doesn't matter who it is, somebody that you trust and care for in your life that cares for you. Tap into that network and use it to help you get your plan in place and take action. What else? This is all quite random and not really in any particular order, but just to kind of utilise your session. If you're boxing off a time for yourself, as I said, Wednesday, 9 o'clock, utilise that session. As I said, use it. Don't just fucking scratch your arse for a half an hour saying, what am I doing? Really immerse yourself in it. Really explore it. Really see where you can go. And be fucking wild and imaginative about it. You want to get a new job and you want to be the fucking president within 4 years? Scale that. Scale that. Bit of scalability. How can I make this work? Whatever it is you want to do, utilise the time that you're putting into it. Really, really simple. The biggest thing with all this, right, okay, Dave told me to put a fucking plan in place. You have to have a reason. That's the biggest thing. For me, the reason is to have a consistency. To have a consistent, to have a consistent, progressive approach when it comes to managing my mental health, and a consistent, progressive understanding when it comes to my self-awareness, which I think is really important to my own well-being. That's my driving factor. A big inspiration, obviously, is that I have a young family. I don't want Jace, as he gets a little bit older, seeing me down and maybe feeling guilty that it's something to do with him. I want to be in a position where I'm strong enough to explain all of this to him, in a way that won't scare him, and in a way that will help him be more positive and be a bit more kind of assertive in embracing his own emotions and his own understanding of as to how the fucking big bad world can be as he gets a bit older. But that's my driving factor. So again, whatever yours is, again, it could be a gym program, you might want to get yourself in shape. It could be because you've been let down by somebody else, you just need to do it for yourself to make yourself a bit better. You could be just going through a really shit time and you're sick of it. That's enough for anybody. So whatever it is, again, when you're utilising those sessions, write down your reason and reinstate that reason to yourself every time. The reminder on your phone could be the reason. When you use that notepad, when you use that diary, the first thing you could write down every time is your reason. There's so many ways to sort of reaffirm that message to yourself. All your self-talk could be about your reasons. So, let's have to take a breather. I always forget what I've kind of said. I've addressed a lot there. That's nearly half an hour on that. I hope this is making sense. I'm just trying to think it off the top of my head, sort of how to structure an internal agenda in your head as to what you want to do and what you want to achieve. And let that be that. So yeah, look, fourth message, really simple. Put a plan in place. Whatever you want to change, whatever progress you want to make, just put a plan in place. And there's just an example of a couple of little steps that may help you along the way. If I'm talking sense, let me know. If you put a plan in place and you're doing something and making progress on something in your life, equally, let me know. Love to hear it. If I'm talking absolute bollocks, equally, let me know. Sometimes I can struggle to sort of articulate what I'm thinking in a verbal manner. That's why I write a lot. Writing for me is just a really soothing way to sort of articulate exactly what's going on in my head. So sometimes I find on the podcast, it's like all the words are in my head, but when I'm talking, I'll only pick a selection of the words, and sometimes the message doesn't really come across as being clear. So for that, if it's not clear, I apologise, but hopefully there's value in that and something helpful for it in you. Look, in summary, just make a plan. Sit down, pick a time this week. Sit down, make a plan, find your reasons, put a bit of structure on it, and commit to it. There you have it. An introduction to life skills. So, what else have we gone through that again? This is when I need to get a break. You get a break in the podcast just to take a deep breath. I'm still waiting on that sponsorship deal from the big window cleaning company, just to give me a breather. So probably when it comes to what we think and what we feel, the biggest thing that's been covered in life skills is it's just addressing the vicious and continuous cycling. The vicious and continuous cycle that can start to kick in when something happens and it affects our thinking, which causes a chain reaction that affects our feelings, which then affects our physical feelings and then affects our physical behavior. So if you take example, a situation, something external happens, really, really simple, and I suppose I'm going to give an example, something that happened to me, and this is actually a true story. So I've said it before, I work in retail, so during the day I sell into different stores, so I'm meeting with different managers right throughout the day, which I'm a very long time at this job, but it can still be quite intimidating if you get somebody at the wrong time, somebody's in the wrong humour, you may not be in the best humour, you need to be very conscious in your interaction with people, and it has everything to do with it. And particularly this time of year in retail, obviously Christmas can be a stressful time for a lot of people, particularly people who work in retail. So a couple of weeks ago, there was a manager who, he was very rude and very dismissive to me, and it was unprovoked, and I was really set back for it. So that was the event, that was the situation, a manager who was rude and dismissive and slightly aggressive to me, which I'm not afraid to say. So my alter thinking to the situation, I had been in great form, I'd sort of been quite neutral, I had nothing really to sort of report on the day, it was just another day's work. But following what happened, the change in my thinking led to me to feel that I was a walkover, I was a pushover, that I couldn't stand up for myself, that I was a fucking loser and I was a bit of a coward. And in that moment, my altered feelings were, I felt embarrassed because the confrontation and the interaction had happened on a shop floor in front of customers, in front of the public, and in front of other staff members. I felt surprised because I wasn't expecting it, and I felt angry because I felt I could have reacted in a more assertive way, and a more confident way to stand up for myself, and I didn't. So the altered physical feelings then in that situation for me, where I was quite subdued afterwards, I was quite saddened, because I felt on my own mental health journey, I believed that I had the tools and techniques within me to kind of stand up for myself in a situation similar to this, and I didn't. I felt I'd let myself down, so I felt tense and I felt annoyed, and I had this kind of worry for the rest of the day that as I went about my business, I was going to find myself in this situation yet again. Oh, I was like, every shop I go into now, the next fellow in me is going to do the same thing. And that altered my behaviour right throughout the day. Every other person I spoke to, every manager I spoke to afterwards, was, I had this kind of nervousness, this sort of giddiness. I couldn't speak properly, I was kind of stammering, and you know, I was sort of enclosed and my body language was quite closed, and I felt I didn't do my job sort of efficiently as well as I could have, because of one incident that I would say lasted no longer than 10 seconds at 9 o'clock in the morning, and it affected me for the rest of the day. So that's just an example of just that cycle. So altered thinking, altered feelings, altered physical feelings and altered behaviour. So if I was to look at that situation in a different light, and I did this that night when I sat down, this is what I came up with. I had a look at it, I said, okay, what happened? This guy had a bit of a pop at me. I'm thinking to myself, what a prick, fuck's sake, this is an absolute, oh, I'm sick of this shit. This happens all the time. It doesn't. So here's the new situation. When this happened, deep breath. Okay, the manager's under pressure. It's coming up to Christmas. He's getting a hammering from head office. He's getting a hammering from other people. And he's had a really shit day. He's just had a phone call where somebody's turned the arse off him because he's not hitting the sales targets. When he comes out of that office, I'm the first person that he sees, and I'm making a beeline for him. He was under pressure and he reacted badly, and I was the first person he saw. It wasn't personal. So how can I feel? I can feel empathetic to his situation because I work in retail and I understand the demands. So I can offer him that empathy. I can tell him that I understand he's under pressure. And I can understand that here's what he wants from me. But he has to understand that I'm under those same pressures too. So straight away there's a connection there. There's equality in some way in somewhat of the interaction. How can I alter my physical feelings? Well, look, I stay relaxed. I stay relaxed as I deal with the situation, and afterwards, knowing that I didn't lower my own standards, that I wasn't rude, just because he was rude to me. And then my altered behaviour is staying self-aware and conscious to how I carry on the rest of my day. It's like, okay, this happened once. It's over. It's gone. I have to assert myself and be professional in how I go about and behave for the rest of the day. So I stay confident. I stay open in my body language. I take my time to the next pair. When I'm speaking to the next manager a half an hour later, I just be relaxed and be really calm. It's a different person. He doesn't know what happened. And there you have it. The situation as it happened, revisiting it, asking what I could have done differently, reimagining the situation, and just asking real life questions as to why it could have happened. And as I said, I think I'm right on the first one. I think the guy was under pressure. It doesn't excuse him for being rude, but it may explain a lot, and it takes away from it being personal, from being a personal attack on me just because I'm doing my job. So just to reiterate on that, if you want to have a go at it, think of a situation, something external that may have changed your day, may have affected you, may have started a day in great form, suddenly something happened, somebody says something to you, and you're pissed off. So have a look at that. What's your altered thinking? What's the altered feelings? What's the altered physical feelings that you have? And what's the altered behaviour? How did all of that make you react? And then go back on it, examine it, and change your mindset on it. Put a much more positive spin and a rational spin on what has happened. There's your exercise, there's your homework for the week. Jesus, that's heavy. That's a half an hour. Half an hour on putting a plan together, half an hour on altered thinking and altered feelings. And again, I hope it's helpful. I'm just kind of recapping what I obviously don't want to be taking out a book and reading word for word exactly what is outlined and what is undertaken in this course. I'm just giving sort of snippets of what I can kind of remember. And what I think will be useful. Most people who listen to this, I have quite a young audience, and I know there's a lot of people who are undertaking exams, whether in college or leaving cert. So I think something like this can be very helpful. It's the very tip of the iceberg when it comes to CBT. But I think just putting, the reason I spoke about putting a plan first is I think that's probably something, I know it's something I can fall down on a lot of the time. When I get to these great ideas, it's like, holy Jesus, I can do that. Right, let's go. And as I said, to state again, you get to chapter 12 before you get to chapter 1. You think you can take over the world. You think you can build a house without doing foundations. So if it is exams, if that's what at you, make your plan. So make your plan and examine your altered thinking and your altered feelings. That's a really simple message for you this week, and I hope it makes sense, and I hope it's helpful to you, and if not, grand, check back next week, there might be something of interest to you. So there you have it, episode 13, not that unlucky, it all went well, and thanks very much again for joining us. Suppose just to finish off this week, again, you may or may not be aware, I had the final positive mental health challenge of 2018 last Saturday, where I undertook a 50k run through the streets of Dublin with the aim of raising €1,000 for Pieta House. And it was fucking marvellous. Oh, it was fucking wonderful. I ran the Dublin Marathon a couple of weeks ago, and it was a fucking nightmare. It was one of those days I kind of felt maybe running isn't for me. It just wasn't a good day, and it was grand. It happened. I had my eye on the prize, which was last Saturday. This is brilliant. Middle of November. I got fucking sunburn last week. Probably windburn, but the day was magnificent. The weather was fabulous. Got out nice and early. And I just really enjoyed it. And again, it just comes from making that commitment with my mind more than anything. I knew heading into that for the last 3-4 weeks, whenever anybody asked me about it, it was like, oh, it's going to be great. Really going to enjoy it. Really looking forward to it. I had no dread about it at all. I was really positive and really upbeat about the experience. And I just really embraced it. And if you follow my stories on Instagram, a couple of people kind of commented on it that I was fairly chirpy right throughout the day. It didn't look as if I was struggling. And look, I'm not going to lie. There's obviously a physical and mental demand to running 50k. And as I said, there was a few sniper shots, and I could feel the burn by the end of it. Absolutely no question. But I just made a commitment to myself to go out and enjoy it, to run through my city and really embrace the experience. And that's exactly what I did. Really proud of myself. Not many people run 50K, particularly around your own streets where you live. It was brilliant. And the most important aspect of the challenge was, with an aim of raising €1,000, we've raised over 2,000. I think it's 2,200 now. So the reason I picked 1,000 was €1,000 is enough to cover a full program of 12 counselling sessions with PA to House for somebody who may be suffering. So now there's over 2,000 there. It's going to help two people heading into Christmas, which is fucking phenomenal. And again, I'm going to go back to the positives of social media. And I said this before, it was similar to the fundraising we did for Aware 10 and 10. I think 50% of the fundraising came from people who I've connected with on social media. People who follow me on social media really, really helped out with the fundraising, because it was a commitment to a cause that people recognise, understand and see as being vitally fucking important in society today. So just a really big thank you to everybody who has helped me out with a couple of challenges that I've undertaken this year. It's been remarkable. It really has. It's been a remarkable year for me, and it's really opened my mind to what is possible on a physical and mental capacity, for the physical and mental capacity of what is possible when people really tap in and believe themselves. And I've gotten a lot of support from people, so just want to say thank you very much. Looking forward to a bit of a break now, and yep, there is a big plan for next April. There'll be another big challenge that I'm really looking forward to sharing with people, but we'll just take a break for now. Episode 13, thank you all for listening. Performance_doc on Instagram. Send your messages in, send in your questions, and we'll leave it there. Thanks very much. Enjoy yourself, enjoy the weekend, take care, and bye bye.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.